The old New Theater in Fort Smith is about to become new once again. The stage, which hosted some of the great actors of the early 20th century, has been vacant for decades. But now, the building, which first hosted performances in 1911, is being brought back to what it once was. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek tells us more about the theater that will be owned and operated by 646 Downtown.
Talisha Richardson, the executive director of 646 Downtown, unlocks the double doors to 9 North 10th Street, the building that will eventually become a performance venue called the New Theater, the same name it had in the first half of the 20th century.
You see still remnants of the mosaic tile from the original space, if you will.
Right now, those mosaic tiles on the floor are covered in dust, and the air inside is musky, the way it tends to be in 100-year-old buildings undergoing renovation. Most of the walls have been stripped down to the bricks, but some are covered in murals created during the Unexpected project.
So this is actually Doe's Green's work from the Unexpected, where we again brought attention to this underutilized space.
That was back in 2017, and Richardson says by the start of 2021, they're hoping the same space will be bustling with theatergoers who will fill the 600 seats in the venue.
So here you see the first floor balcony here. We won't go all the way up just because it's, you know, in this demo fashion, if you will.
The ceiling soars above the two balconies as they open up to the stage, which right now is just a gaping hole in the floor, but at one time hosted the likes of George Arliss, Mary Astor, and Shirley Temple. John McIntosh, who is in charge of production and development for 646 Downtown, says the theater was the center of entertainment in Fort Smith in the early 1900s.
Fort Smith was north and south routing, so a lot of the shows from New York and Chicago routed down to Texas, and they would stop in Fort Smith and play. I mean, a lot of the major productions during the 20s and 30s occurred in that theater. It was a big vaudeville theater.
The Beaux-Arts design of the building came to be thanks to Fort Smith native George Sparks, who was inspired by a visit to the New Amsterdam Theater on New York City's Broadway. The venue went through many renovations over the years, and eventually, McIntosh says, it became a Malco-owned movie theater in the 1940s.
And when the malls took the theaters away from downtown, it really became abandoned. And it's been basically abandoned in one form or another since the mid-1980s.
Richard Griffin and the Griffin Family Trust donated the building to 646 Downtown, which plans to bring it back to its former glory.
The original theater was sort of a Beaux-Arts, sort of an Art Deco nod. And all of that material was taken out when the Malco took it over. It's literally been stripped. None of those features are left, and it is a prohibitive cost to come back and do that. So we'll have a nod to the Beaux-Arts design and architectural design in there, but it'll be a state-of-the-art theater that sort of mimics that off-Broadway look and feel.
McIntosh says the theater is going to fill a gap in the types of venues that operate in the area.
So as a 600-cap venue, there's no venue in the mid-size here. There's 1,200 and 1,300. And there's 250. So there's no sweet spot of that 600 seats.
It'll also serve as a community stage that will be open to local nonprofit performing arts groups like the Young Actors Guild and Western Arkansas Ballet.
And the Fort Smith Symphony has shown a great deal of interest for alternative programming because it's a smaller venue and offers a lot of educational opportunities for the symphony.
McIntosh says they also plan to work with the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Theater Arts Department, create a drama program at the Future School, and collaborate with Fort Smith Public Schools.
So it's an opportunity not just for the kids on stage, but for the young people interested in theater education and performing arts education. It's a living, breathing lab with our performing arts education building, and we want it to be that.
The Performance Arts Education Building is another piece of the New Theater campus. It'll be right next door and will include a shop, dressing rooms, rehearsal space, classrooms, offices, and a black box theater.
Well, that's so important is when the theater was originally built, that building did not support it because everything was under the stage. The dressing rooms, the scene shops, the restrooms were all under the stage. Well, that didn't quite work these days. So it's important to have all the other buildings that's supporting the theater and the venue.
McIntosh says the theater will also be open to regional promoters and will host nationally touring performances.
And we want to bring in some off-Broadway as well that are a little more innovative. We want to make sure that we reach all the underserved markets in our area. We're going to have an outreach coordinator at some point that goes out into the community and brings those underserved parts of the community into the theater, because we want it to be their theater too.
And despite some setbacks following a failed sales tax special election that would have funded the completion of the U.S. Marshals Museum, McIntosh says the two organizations are already discussing collaborating on original programming that focuses on the U.S. Marshals Service.
The Marshals Museum will get completed. The new theater will get completed. So it's a great opportunity to bookend the east end of Garrison and the riverfront. That riverfront's going to continue to develop. We're trying to get the east end of Garrison kicked off and finished off, and then we'll infill Garrison Avenue the rest of the way.
And so far, Talisha Richardson says, the east end of Garrison is off to a good start.
If you look at the location of the new theater in its proximity to Cisterna Park, there's already established commerce, businesses, retail in that particular corridor. So by extending that to offering arts and education, you have another diverse commerce that's entering downtown that once was there.
Richardson says the goal of that diversity of amenities is to keep growing density so that the two can feed off of each other.
We need to increase the density, the people living downtown, so that they can partake in all of the amenities that are being created, if you will. So we have to remind people of all the things that have taken place over the last 4 to 5 years and how they're coming together and how sometimes it does take time, but everything is colliding now, which is a good feeling, and the theater is going to take it to the next level.
And John McIntosh adds they're planning for that next level to extend beyond the River Valley.
Look at the arts corridor that's developing in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. You know, we're getting closer and closer every year to tie together. We've had collaborations with Crystal Bridges that we're delighted with the unexpected. We're talking to the Walton Arts Center. We're talking to the AMP. I mean, we've got some really good connections, and we're all trying to work together to just build that arts corridor.
The renovation of the new theater is currently in the demolition phase, and construction is expected to begin sometime in October. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
John McIntosh says the renovations are expected to cost $8 million and have been funded by private donations. Speaking of theater will be discussed this evening at 6 at the Vault in downtown Fayetteville. Bruce Warren, one of the more prolific performers for Theater Squared, will be at the bar to talk about his directorial debut for T2's next production, The Legend of Georgia McBride. He's acted with T2 in past shows like Around the World in 80 Days and The Ding Dong. He'll talk about directing the final T2 production in Nadine Baum Studios before next season opens across the street in the brand new T2 Theater. You can meet Bruce Warren tonight at 6 at Vault in downtown Fayetteville. The event is free. It's open to the public. Oh, and by the way, The Legend of Georgia McBride opens May 1st.